and we'll be good to go. All right, now it's moving backwards. Oh, it's moving, so whatever. We'll see. This is the Glory of God series, and we're at the Continuity of Scripture class on Sunday morning. It is week 8, and we're in the self-revelation of God, Genesis 3 to Genesis 5, and the date is November 17th, 2024. So, a clear understanding of God's revelation of himself, who he is, provides a clear understanding of the big picture of Scripture with the glory of God at the center. Oh, that was a long sentence. And what do I mean by that? Okay? And you probably didn't know I was going to ask you, what does this mean? So I'm going to repeat it. A clear understanding of God's revelation of himself, who he is, provides a clear understanding of the big picture of Scripture with the glory of God at the center. So let's start off. Well, let me ask you regarding that whole sentence. What are some of your thoughts about what that means? And then we're going to break it down.
Highlighting the significance of continual ongoing Bible studies, which I think this class does on a regular basis.
Okay. You want to repeat that? Continuing?
Continuing the existence. Ongoing, constant Bible studies, and not so constant that you don't have a life outside the camp, you know, cook dinner.
Right.
But just continually in God's Word. The expression I've used, I've bored you with the expression. The Bible's 3 inches thick and 9 miles deep. There's just so much there. And as much as you would study it and memorize it and go over it constantly, it's just so deep.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of the reasons I don't like to break for the summer break. Many people break for the month of August because they're on vacation. The enemy doesn't take a vacation. I don't see why I need to. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm saying I continue to want to be able to bathe myself in that because I need it.
Mm-hmm.
With my background and my baggage and my garbage that has been in my life, I know how bad it can get.
Okay. Anything else about
this
that?
This reveals the glory of God. This is the revelation of the glory of God.
Yes.
Every
verse. Yeah. Good, good. Michelle?
I would just like to get down to simply everything God does is for his glory.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah, because that's what I meant by the center, mm-hmm. being the center. It's the core. The glory of God is the core. Everything he does is for his glory. So
that's because he's completely good. He is glory.
Mm-hmm.
So he does glory.
Well, and yeah, getting down
and even
to...
Even creation reveals his glory.
Well, yeah, and we've talked about that in this series. So what does glory mean? We've been talking about this for weeks. What does the word chabod mean?
Weightiness.
So what does that mean? How would you explain that to a person?
All of God's attributes.
Yeah, all of God's attributes. You could bring it down to his character, too, character qualities, and also his reputation. And when someone told me it encompasses his reputation, I thought, okay, tell me something else. What God wants us to know about him. That's what, you know, it boils down to what he reveals about himself, okay? Which includes his attributes, his character. And what does the term big picture mean?
How it relates to all of Scripture.
But how does it relate to Scripture? How would you, if somebody was interested in coming to this class and you said, well, we talk about the big picture of Scripture, then how would you explain that?
It's a story that isn't finished.
The story isn't finished.
I'd say it's the Messiah.
The Messiah, okay.
From beginning to end, it all reveals Jesus Christ as the Messiah.
From Genesis through Revelation.
Yeah. Yeah. Alpha to Omega.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. But what about the nations, too? How do they fit in?
The pinnacle of God's creation.
Mm-hmm. The pinnacle? Well, it's mankind.
Mankind. Yeah.
But I'm separating the nations and then from the Jews, which is one nation, Jewish people encompass one nation. And we see that in David's discussion with God in 2 Samuel 7. And then, and 2 Corinthians? Let me just think for a minute. No, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:32, or it could be 2, so check me out, that God says, give no offense to the church or to the Gentiles or the Jewish people. So there's a distinction there, you know. And the church encompasses saved Gentiles and saved Jews. Okay, so, Michelle?
Well, the big picture would be how God is working through history and the creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. Mm-hmm. And that's the big picture from the beginning to, you know, from verse 1 in Genesis to last verse in Revelation.
And I think that would, when we share those four words, that would intrigue believers who don't have any idea about that, who haven't heard big picture, one narrative of Scripture, and then, you know, cause them to ask questions of us, which would be good. And then we could ask questions of them. So what does what I mentioned in the beginning look like? I'm going to read it again. A clear understanding of God's revelation of himself, who he is, provides a clear understanding of the big picture of Scripture with the glory of God at its center. Bring it back to when we first started this series. So we were at creation. How does that look? How does creation give us a clear understanding of who God is and the big picture of Scripture? That's why we sang, "This is my Father's world."
I would go to Psalm 19.
Yeah. The heavens declare the glory of God. And let's look at that, because we spent time on it several weeks ago. And I think it was surprising to many of you, or some of you, shall I say. It was surprising what I learned about that psalm. Getting ready for the Tuesday morning class when I was starting to work on it in the spring. So Psalm 19, the whole Psalm 19. Okay, let me get it wrong. Okay, and this is a Psalm of David. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun. And I'll stop at the end of verse 4. So what is that telling us? Talk about continuing. God's message through creation is continuing. And that's why, and we said this a few weeks ago, that's why God can say that so man is without excuse. He is still viewing the creation. He is still hearing the creation as it continues to tell the glory of God. That's an amazing first part of verse 1. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. That's powerful. That's truly powerful.
It's so interesting that they were created before Adam was created. Therefore, Adam's first view of the sky is already the glory that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It wasn't like he's looking at something black and then all of a sudden the Lord came along and said, "Oh, now I'll do that." No. He did it together.
Right. That's a good observation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Patty? Oh, you were going to say?
I didn't get my hand raised.
Oh, okay. Al?
I go to bed early at night because I get up very early in the mornings. And I'm laying there in my bed, black, and I'm close to the Gainey Country Club. They have bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, lots of fireworks. Here's what goes through my mind, very finite mind. I'm thinking someday God is going to be the center of all of the nations worshiping him in heaven, and around him and behind him is going to be this vast canopy, his creation, that's, we can't even comprehend it now. But someday, we're going to be in a choir, we're going to be whatever our ideas are, but the majestic, panoramic view of whatever is just going to, if we kept our minds, they would blow our minds, literally.
Yeah.
But God's that great. And so now, when we're living on earth, we lay there in bed quietly, we think about God. I see these fireworks going off at the, or not see, but hear them, going off at Country Club. And that just triggers me to think about this stuff, because smell triggers me a lot. Laying in bed and thinking of, these are Jewish people that are being prepared and completed in their education.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, all God's going to work all this together.
Mm-hmm.
And someday we're going to be surrounding him, his throne, and it's going to be, I can't even describe it, how fabulous it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm trying to say. That I think I don't want to get frustrated by dwelling on this stuff too much, because someday it'll be revealed to me and I'll be in the presence of God.
Yeah.
So I count on that by faith, that that'll satisfy me completely.
Mm-hmm.
And take what he gives me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to say it.
Because, mm-hmm, you know, even his the creation, what God has created, looks towards the future. Everything that God has done looks towards the future. And we know, as scripture reveals, who he is as God unfolds his plan, even in making of man, giving him dominion as God's representative over the earth, that's a look forward, okay? We read about it in Genesis 1:26-28, and we read about it in Daniel, we read about it in other prophetic books, and in Revelation, and Jesus' words talk about it. So it's a future, God's plan. I see creation as God's plan, and what all he has in store, like you're saying now. Richard?
I love looking for it. It's somewhere in there for Isaiah, but I remember, clearly remember that he likes to hide himself a bit. You know, like the dew on the ground and like the heat of the sun, God's doing it, but he's hiding behind these things a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And right now. Mm-hmm. Anyways, there's an Isaiah somewhere.
Well, think of the intertestamental times, too, those 430 years between the testaments. And he the people thought, what did he, book a cruise? Where is God that he's not warning us? But no, he's always there.
Mm-hmm. And you see it played out in the battle going on in the Mideast,
yeah,
right now. Miraculous things happening.
Yes.
Because God, just by the flick of the dust on his shoulder, he didn't have a shoulder.
Right.
But he accomplished whatever he desired.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's tough for us to swallow.
Oh.
You know, especially if it is too close to home, if it hits too close to home. But that's where knowing God, who God is so important, as we go from book to book. So, what about, okay, so God is seen, and I've mentioned this before, as creator from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Genesis 3 comes along, and what happens? Sin. Sin enters the world. And then what does he put forth as far as who he is when sin comes into the world? He's holy. He's just. He deals with sin.
He's
Michelle?
He's a redeemer.
Well, yeah, that's where we're, and then he redeems. Immediately after his justice is displayed in what he says, and he says, but I'm going to send someone who will resolve sin, resolve your sin. So he's looked at he's looked upon as the redeemer. He's the creator, Revelation 4, in the throne room of God, he's hailed as the creator. Revelation 5, in the throne room of God, he's hailed as the redeemer. That's an unfolding.
Because he implemented John 3:16 immediately.
Immediately. That's the first messianic prophecy in Genesis 3:15. Right. And it's a foreshadowing of, it's a declaration. More than a foreshadowing, it's a declaration of the seed of the woman who would come and resolve sin. Oh. And we see his compassion, and we see his grieving too, his heart. We see that so clearly in sin having come into the world. So, and then we see, and this last part from what we've gone over already or are yet to go over is his making of covenants with Israel. Now, I've got a question to ask you, because as we were coming down here this morning, I thought, okay, God already had made a covenant before God chose Abraham, who was Abram at the time, that we read about in Genesis 12. But before that time, there's the Abrahamic covenant, and then there's the Noahic covenant, all right? Abrahamic covenant, David, what would you say is the Abrahamic covenant? Because there are a lot of commands, there are a lot of different things, rather, comments.
I would say it's the promise of the land.
Oh, you would say it's the promise of the land?
The promise of the seed of Abraham.
The seed of Abraham, and I would go with neither. But that's okay. But that's okay, because I'm unfolding it. I'm unfolding it from a blank
slate. And also
slate.
A blessing to the entire world.
Through Christ.
John,
blessings of
Abraham's would be a blessing.
See, but that's Abraham. That's the Abrahamic covenant. Did I say Abrahamic? I'm sorry. I agree with you. Adamic.
I think death was part of the blessing of the covenant, because it's through death that we can come to Christ.
Okay, so now which covenant are you talking about? Which
covenant? Death was the curse, but because we have the ability to die now, that's how we come to Christ. It's through the death.
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying. And someone, it's interesting because that had come my way this week. That same comment.
It's like, yeah, you're gonna die.
You're gonna die. So here's the Redeemer.
Here I am as the Redeemer.
And
he'll come to you through death. And that way you can resurrect with him.
Yeah. So, but going back to the Adamic covenant, in the first two chapters.
Oh, you mean
of
the dominion?
No. Well, some people say it's dominion. Yeah. Michelle, you were thinking that, right? The dominion. But I'm thinking and that could be, but I've always had a question about when people say the Adamic covenant, where is it? And I was looking for it in Genesis 1 and 2 as we were coming down. Could it be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth? That's the only thing that I thought of this morning. Because others, it was just too particular, not particular, it was too detailed, the other ones, to a certain people group. So I'm thinking, because God said it to all, be fruitful and multiply, right? I mean, he told the nations that. You got Nimrod, who is the founder of Babel and the Tower of Babel, and they didn't want to be fruitful and multiply, etc., etc. So, okay, never mind. But with that covenant, as we have said in the past, and Michelle highlights it a lot, the covenant shows that God is faithful, especially when it comes, especially with the unconditional covenants that he gives to Israel. Because you can hang your hat on the fact that Israel is still Israel, and God is going to restore them. He's going to redeem those who are yet to be redeemed, who he has chosen. Doesn't mean that all Jewish people will be saved, but his promises concerning the land, the seed, and the blessing will definitely be fulfilled. And so we see the faithfulness of God. Sherry?
Isn't the Adamic covenant the one where, I'm just trying to look for right now, where it says, serpent will bruise your heel, but you will crush his head.
That's
the promise.
Well, that's Genesis 3:15, and that's really the first messianic prophecy. So the Adamic covenant would be more so for the whole world. Okay? Wouldn't you say that, Michelle, for the whole world? Adamic covenant?
Well, it has to be because the Jews weren't an
Abraham. Right, right, right.
Same with Noah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and the Noahic covenant is completely different.
And Abraham wasn't...
No.
It wasn't the Israelite. It was not until Jacob came along.
Right, right. And we know that as a class here. Maybe some don't agree, but a lot of I don't hear it mentioned from the pulpit much. Rustin might have mentioned it recently, that Abraham wasn't Jewish. So, I think, does that sound familiar?
Well, Judah is.
Huh?
Judah is where we get Jewish.
Yes, it is. Yeah, Judah, right, we get the Jews from,
right.
From Judah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then it became synonymous. Then all the tribes of Israel were called Jews, okay, in Scripture. All right, so what
Kathy,
we're going to do...
Sorry, Kathy, mm-hmm. Question over here.
Sharon?
How do you spell?
No. I've never heard of the Adamic covenant, so could you...
Yeah, I know. It doesn't get much press. Yeah.
No, it's Adam.
It's Adam and an IC.
Yeah.
Okay. Adamic.
Yeah.
Because the Hebrew way of saying Adam is Adam. I think it's Adam. That sounds funny. Adam. Adam. That's how it would be. Yeah. So okay, what we're going to do is just go a little bit further than this. On your hand, no, don't give out the handout because then you'll have to make all of them again next week. And we only have like 10 minutes. So, Tracy or Patty, who is it? Patty?
No, I just was going to say that actually the plan of salvation, I watched this video of the called out believers. Anyway, the kind of random guy. But he's a Jewish believer, and it shows that within Bereshit, in the beginning, mm-hmm. God created them. Even within that, using pictorial Hebrew, it's the Messiah on a tree. You know, anyway, it's
I've heard
sort
of that,
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's sort of amazing to watch him roll it out.
Yeah.
So God has been at this salvation issue since from the beginning. He knew it was going to happen.
Well, we see it. We don't need that pictorial because I've heard some other people give that pictorial and it's a little bit, you know, confusing. Yeah.
Well, I don't know Hebrew, but it just was
yeah.
sort of amazing.
I wouldn't spread it around, okay?
Oh, okay.
The better way of sharing just what you said about the Trinity is Genesis 1:1 to 1:3, because you've got Elohim, plurality of God, Bereshit, bara Elohim, in the beginning God created, and that word for God, Elohim, in the plural, it's so interesting that bara is a singular verb. Isn't that interesting? Wow, because that's not grammatically correct for a singular verb to be in connection with a plural noun, okay? So, and then you have Genesis 1:2, the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:3 is Jesus, the Word. I would stick with that.
Well, okay. You know, the other's kind of a little...
Yeah, yeah.
It's not as approachable or...
It might not be correct. That's where I'm going more with that.
You'll know this, the scripture, I don't, but there's the verse that says that Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world.
Okay.
So that would, right?
Isn't yeah. Yes, Hebrews 13:8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would make it.
Yes.
God had that planned all the way before creation.
Right. And they were in the plan. I mean, they were part. They're God.
Right.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So yeah, exactly. Pre-existence of Jesus. And it's interesting because within Judaism, I'm perhaps even with ultra-Orthodox, the Messiah, not pre-existent, okay? You know, ultra-Orthodox you would think would be really in tune with Scripture. Now, that's a good question, Larry, for you to ask your friends. In your view, is the Messiah pre-existent? Or any questions about the Messiah? Who explain to me the Messiah?
The role of Messiah.
Well,
huh?
The role of Messiah, right? Because Jesus was there.
He's there as the Word.
Yeah, but you're talking to an unsaved Jewish person. So in your If you just say Messiah, they'll know what that means, okay? But I understand what you're saying, too, the role of the Messiah. And then they might throw that in, not, you know.
The interesting thing that came up in the Torah study here last year was a rabbi said that Moses was greater than the Messiah. And I was taken aback when I heard that. So that may go to your question about, you know, what they think about the preeminence of Messiah, because they would have to admit that the Messiah is God himself. Mm-hmm. They're not there.
Right.
At least the Orthodox aren't.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I was taken aback by that comment, and I had to bite my tongue, kept my mouth shut, and let them continue on.
Well, the thing is, too, and I've heard several Jewish people say that that Moses is greater than the Messiah. Say, wow, what do you do with him not being allowed into the land of promise?
Yeah.
What happened there? You know? So that's why, you know, to get into a conversation more so. But you, I mean, I know you bring up a lot there.
I bring up a lot. I don't know if they're going to invite me back. It's like in the hard time. You know, I try to be respectful. I always pose as a question and only refer to Old Testament because it is actually, you know, a law not to read any of the new scriptures. So I stick to Old Testament with them as much as I can.
Yeah. And you could give the gospel through the Old Testament, surely. We're talking about it already from Genesis 1 through 3.
Tracy? I would say that Moses representing the law can only take you so far. You can't get into the promised land without Joshua, which is the same name as Jesus.
That's a good comment. That's a good comment.
Mm-hmm. That's where the promised land is. That's where your inheritance is. That's where the land that's been given to Israel is on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good comment. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's saying the same thing as why wasn't he allowed into the promised land? Why wasn't Moses?
From the rock that was Jesus.
Yeah, right, right. I understand what you're saying. Okay, Diane.
Okay, so now you said Genesis 1:2 points to Jesus, which is.
It says it's kind of. I can understand why you're asking that question. It says the Lord God said. So his word, he spoke the word, and the word, yeah.
Oh, wait, so you have to go to John 1.
Is it verse 2? Is it Genesis 1:2 that you're talking about points to?
No, Genesis 1:2 points to the Holy Spirit.
Oh, okay.
And Genesis 1:3 says, and the Lord said.
The Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters?
Right, yeah, the Spirit of the Lord.
That's
the Holy Spirit.
God spoke.
He spoke everything into creation.
Okay, so you're saying Genesis
1:3.
1:3, okay.
Yeah, and like Tracy said, that, Diane, okay. That coincides with John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, so, okay.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a very good Jewish, and then with this we'll end. I say that a lot, and I don't mean it, but I try to mean it. That's, word is a good topic to bring up to the Jewish people. Have you ever spoken to your pals there, your Jewish friends, about the word in Aramaic?
No.
Okay. In Hebrew, the word for word is davar, okay? Davar, D-A-V-A-R. But in Aramaic, it's memra, M-E-M-R-A. And memra means the same as God and distinct from God. Whoa, what does that say?
The nature of...
Yeah, so then you can bring up the Shema, okay? Hear, O Israel, Lord our God, the Lord is one. And that word for one in the Hebrew is echad, which means composite unity. So, and those are friendly comments, aren't they?
They are. We had a whole discussion on the unity of God. The Jewish people really strongly believe in the unity of God. And the comment that the rabbi made was that the Christians are more idolatrous than the
I remember you're saying that.
Muslims, because we believe in a triune God, and even the Muslims only believe in God. There's, again, a place where we butt heads. Where I countered that, I said, well, just so you know where the Christians stand on idolatry, is anything you put before God is idolatry. It could be your career, your family, your wealth, your second home here in Scottsdale, whatever it may be. If you put that first ahead of God, you're an idolater.
Mm-hmm. What did they say to that? Did you say at the same time that the rabbi had?
I countered rabbi with that comment. There was silence in the room.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good, yeah.
Testimony.
And you're still invited, so.
Well, we haven't gotten an announcement yet as far as whether they're going to do it this year or not.
Oh.
So usually it doesn't start till about December, so the snowbirds are just getting back now.
We have time.
But they'll let me know, one way or the other.
Okay. Okay, we'll be praying for you.
Pray about that.
Yeah, truly.
You know, I talked to Lori Jo about the Son of God. She said in her religion as a Jew, that they always thought that the Messiah was going to be the Son of God. So it's a very different perspective.
That's
a deliverer.
A deliverer.
She said,
she's here. She can speak for herself.
If you say the Son of God, you...
Well, no, that was my revelation.
Okay.
But Messiah.
I didn't see you over there. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Sent by God to deliver.
Mm-hmm. Well, you sent one.
As a deliverer. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not anointed one. Mm-hmm.
But that's scriptural. God sent.
Yes.
The Messiah,
yes.
In the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's God and the Messiah who send the Holy Spirit. So that word sent doesn't make them less than God at all.
No.
And there's so much proof.
Distinct from.
Yeah, there's that distinction. Thank you.
And then you have, Psalm 2, this day I've begotten you.
Right, which means unique one. It means unique one, okay? A uniqueness about the one he is sending forth and putting on the throne of David,
But then I wonder, why do they say that Moses is greater than the Messiah?
Why is he?
Because
they like him better.
Yeah.
I'm just not, being, nasty. Lori?
Because the law is so present in
them. Okay, shh. Yeah.
The law was given. He was the deliverer of the law.
Yeah. And he delivered, and God used Moses to deliver them out of Egypt.
Correct.
Too. Yeah.
But you talk about the limiting of Moses, David. They're all limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's sin in their lives, and the Messiah is sinless. But that might be another topic. That
they are using scripture when they talk about this Moses. And it comes from Deuteronomy, where it says that someone like me will come after me, and you must listen to him. They think that that makes Moses higher than the Messiah. You must listen to the Messiah. You need like me, like Moses. And that's where they get it from.
But that whole context, is talking about how he's going to be a prophet. And Moses was a prophet. The Messiah is going to be a prophet. And as God spoke to Moses face to face, like it's talked in the Torah, God is speaking to the Messiah face to face. But again, it's the same as, but distinct. And actually, to give perhaps more punch to that questionability of that comment on their part is they couldn't explain it. The rabbis couldn't explain the same as and distinct from, okay? Which is speaking volumes right there. Because why can't you? It's in scripture. It's in the Tanakh itself. Anyway. Great stuff. Okay.
It's a great class.
It's great people. So thank you, God, for the fellowship that you have given us, Lord. Thank you for choosing us to be in the one body of Christ, Lord, of the Messiah. We pray, God, that as we dig in further, that you would give us nuggets. Might not give us a whole volume at one point, at one time, but nuggets to take home. And to perhaps, God, we can only pray that you would cause us to use those nuggets as we are sharing with people that you put across and in our path. Thank you for this time. We pray that you would bless it. We pray, God, that we would be mindful of who you are always and give you glory always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.